Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Super coaches and super coachettes, welcome to the round four SC Talk Report. My name's Alex, and tonight I am joined by the man who last round was about 30k ranks behind me, now feels like he's probably 30k ranks ahead of me after dominating the round four score. May I introduce to you JT, how you doing?
Mate, Redemption City, population me. How good? Hey, I told everyone there, 78,000 or whatever, not for long. Into the lofty
25. Did I not
25.
Tell you last week that you could pump me by 100, 200 points this round and be miles ahead of me?
You absolutely did. So, yeah, I'm going to live on that for a little while because, I mean, as good as they are, don't think Brent Naden and Jamal Fogarty can continue to pump out, you know, 80 scores. But whatever, I'll take it while it rides. 25,000 or something now. So, and top pod score, whatever it was, the pod hub, you know it better than I do. Apparently, I was the best podcaster in the land last week.
You were the podmasters. Yeah, you were top dog there. Catfish has had a really good start, but it looks like you've trumped him for that score. But the fact he's got a 1220 last round, which was mild. If you got an 1100, you're soaring up the rankings, but you probably went up close to 50,000 ranks. Do you know exactly how many ranks you went up?
It was there or thereabouts. What is it now? It was 70,000 odd last week. It's now 27,000. So just around 40, 45K. Yeah, so I'm in the space
cool
of one 40K. Round.
Yeah, nothing. But even in that, you still had some not great players in the team. Like everyone played Hopgood. You had Fogarty as your only halfback. You had Adam Dewey there. You got Warbricks 14. You didn't have Reece Walsh. So the fact you still got that score with even those players kind of bringing it down is pretty incredible. What are your kind of main takeaways there, or who really impressed you last round for your side?
Main takeaways that your disrespect continues for the big Fogue. He got 73. So I don't know why you're including him. My only halfback, he's the only one I needed in the whole thing.
I mean, it's 73, but an average of 51.
Well, it's only trending upwards in my eyes, so well done to me. But no, it's somewhat of a bounce back for a couple of those guys. But then I think everyone just sort of scored middling. And you know what? Like 1,200, say, what, 2 years ago was probably a pretty average score when you think about the days where 1,300 plus. Remember that when everyone was strolling across for tries and all of that? It seems like, I don't know, whether it's hot weather, whether it's just, you know, the early days of the season, teams being a little unfit. It's holding scores back. There's not been that huge, massive point score just yet. I think we've got a handful of tons, but nothing really huge. So, yeah, I think 1220, great score last week, but going forward, I don't see it cutting the mustard. But for now, we'll take the ranking rise. How are you going?
Yeah. Look, not a fantastic round, but I had a huge win. If anyone does follow me on Twitter, you'll see the bet that Clem Cassidy from the Supercoach Playbook and I had as we had a head-to-head matchup in the Banter Boys League. Managed to get the W there. So in a few weeks' time, her and I will be on the Supercoach Hub podcast that goes on YouTube, and she's going to have to do some really disgusting shots and eat some disgusting things on YouTube. So stay tuned for that. That'll be a few weeks away. But I got a modest 1,039, not a great round at all, but probably just under par. But because of how low this scoring spread has been, I really don't feel like I'm that far behind, even though I'm about 45K in the ranks. So I'm still in the game. I'm still pretty happy with where I'm sitting squad-wise, and I've got a few moves to make I'm actually pretty keen for this week, but we'll get into more of that later. So highlights from the round. Now, we talked about your team, but was anyone not in your team that really caught your eye you're potentially looking further into this round?
Well, I mean, I think it's the Broncos duo of Reece Walsh and Payne Haas. I mean, we know how good Haas is, but Walsh was the interesting one. I was sort of internally crowing a little bit there when I saw that he was on zero after about, I don't know, 55 minutes, went to dinner, checked the score afterwards. Broncos had flogged them somehow, and he's on 99. Don't know what happened there, but either way, when the Broncos are on a roll, looks like it's all going to go through Reece Lightning's hands. So for me, a huge eye catcher and the first guy I traded in this round.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And I'd assume that'd be the case for most people. The fullback options are fairly limited. There's probably only three or four that you'd really want to be having a look at, and he's definitely up there at the top of the pile. For me, it's quite surprising. Keon Kalamatungi, he's had an incredible start to the year. He's scored two tries in the first three games, but he's had a score of 80, 62, and now he's tunned up. If he can keep that up, he will be the best 2RF at the Bunnies. It won't be Cam Murray. So if he keeps that trend, it's going to be hard to leave him out of my side, I think. So, yeah, he's going to be my close watch over the next couple of weeks. And he could be a great play over Origin if on the chance he doesn't get picked, if they go for Olakau'atu or someone like that for that second row position, or if Angus comes back in time. Yeah, no, he's my kind of pod watch. And he might get a mention in my buy, sell, hold article tomorrow. Who knows?
That's a good shout. Like, I'm having a look at the second row forwards and the highest averaging. So the guys that have played three rounds, it's Hopgood up the top, obviously, courtesy of that blistering couple of early rounds. But then Kalamatungi second comfortably on 82 points a game. And you go down to Tohu, who everyone sort of loves as a front row option. Nikora and big Lachie Fitz. How about it? Shout out Lachie, your boy. He's back. The big Fitz is about the only healthy forward at the Knights, and he's just doing good stuff. I think another try last week or a line break. He's flying.
Yeah, but he's also he's struggling to play full games because he's getting injured every game. Like, he's still playing 80 minutes, but he's spending half of it on the floor getting seen by the trainer.
Oh, like, it still counts as minutes on park. So can't complain. Can't argue with results there. Big Lachie Fitz. Is anyone? I'm going to have to check. Is anyone trading him out? In.
Oh, that's handful. Yeah, I was going to say, phone him to trade him out.
Strange one, but there you go. It's been a weird old year. What do we got on the pod tonight?
Well, first, obviously, we're going to go through the team lists, see any massive changes. We also got, I'm kind of refreshing as we go, keeping an eye on the live judiciary report. The news has come out that Felice Kafusi has been found guilty and will miss the next four games. So we'll talk about options that could potentially replace him as well. One that's not really relevant to Supercoach, but Fletcher Baker has been found not guilty, so he's available for games from here. And the one we're currently waiting on is Jerome Hughes, which could have big Supercoach implications for my team. Implications, sorry, I'm all over the shop here. Yeah, I've got Jerome Hughes, so I'm definitely keeping an eye on him and what I do there. So praying he's not guilty. But yeah, we'll keep an eye on that as we go. But first up, Eels Panthers. Massive, massive change for this one. The Ryan Madison going to the edge and really popular owner Matt Dury gone to the bench. Now, are you a Matt Dury owner?
I am, yep. Frustrated, but he's still got a low break.
Most of us will be. That's it. I think it's just in the negatives, about negative nine. So I'm not looking at selling him, but if he's staying on the bench, how long do you hold him for? That's the real question.
I don't think long at all. Like, he'll probably have one, maybe two price rises up the sleeve. And then after that, if he's on the bench now, and he's also battling a leg injury. So I was surprised to see him named at all. And maybe he's just there to relieve Matto for 15 or 20. But long term, who'd have thought it's the Cardi party that won out?
The Cardi party.
We need a new sound grab for that guy. Negative 14 break even. He made almost $100,000 last week. Tossed a coin between him and Dury. I thought Dury was better longer term, given the wraps on him. But maybe that injury has just pushed Cardi ahead. Who'd have thought?
Well, that's it. Like, on paper, Cardi's done better, but actually watching the games and seeing how they perform and the effort they put in, I thought Dury was far better. Cardi, it doesn't look like he's done that poor defensively, but he's barely, like, some of the tries he's letting in are pretty poor, I'd say. So, I'm really surprised that he kept that position, but I guess if Dury is injured, then it makes sense. For the rest of the team, besides the Ryan Madison move to the edge, the 1 to 13 are all exactly the same. Wiremu Grieg and Makatoa stay on the bench, but they've included Brendan Hands onto the bench as well.
Great name.
And that is a great name. Momosia and Ogden go to the extended reserves. Jack Murchie out completely. Was that through injury? That's one I might have missed.
I think he picked up an HIA last week. So,
Surprising. Obviously, the new rules, he's out for 11 days from a failed HIA, depending on the grade. But for most, it would be out for 11 days, which can be a bit of an issue. I think I read, I don't know how much truth is behind this, but there's only three instances this season or three scenarios this season where a player will miss two games from missing the 11 days.
So I think so they play like a Sunday into a Thursday game or something.
Yeah, something like that's the only scenario where they can miss multiple games. So, you know, fingers crossed that doesn't happen for any of our players, but I think it would be quite rare for that to happen. So I wouldn't be making any hugely rash decisions thinking they're going to miss multiple weeks just because they've got the failed HIA, but obviously that's a bridge we'll have to cross when we come to it. Panthers, they've had the bye, so they're going to be super fresh, rearing for this game. I believe their 1-17 does remain the exact same from the last time they came out, except for the inclusion of Scott Sorensen, but obviously he's a part of their regular lineup. Extended bench, Matt Eisenhuth moves back, Zach Hosking's on there as well, so one to keep an eye on. But I think myself as a Luke Garner owner, I'm quite comfortable with this 1-17. I'm Luke Garner, Sunia Taruva, and Nathan Cleary owner. I'm very happy to play all of these guys this weekend. What about yourself? Any Panthers players in your team floating around?
A lot of shares in Penrith going around. So last week was a bit of an annoying buyer. But no, I've got Brian To'o and Nathan Cleary. So those two are in my side. And yeah, a lot of cash who have sat back last week, but good to have him back. But yeah, the Garner thing, as an if I was an owner, I mean, yeah, he got through, was it 80 last game? But again, got rotated in the first round. 67. So I'm still, yeah, it's just an unsure one there. But looked dangerous. I will give him that. Like he looked like he was close to almost three tries. It could have been on the night, dropped a ball and had one taken off and that kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, you'll take those attacking stats. But long term, I don't like the look of Luke Garner right now. Not an emergency.
No, there's one of them. As an owner, I'm happy to hold for the time being. Hopefully, yeah, he was super close to two tries. That first one where he got put through, and then it was just him and Latrell, and he just dropped it as he's putting it down. The second one where he dived over from dummy half, and again, just lost it as he was about to put it down. If those two tries, or even one had gone up, he's going for a 90-point game there in 60-something minutes. So, yeah, I'm happy to give him another shot. I think the Penrith Panthers will come out firing this game. Eels have been, they've had some close, like all their games have been within, I think, 4 points every single game, but they just aren't looking like the Eels side that we saw late last year. And the Panthers coming off the bye, they're going to be rearing for this one. So, yeah, we'll get into Nathan Cleary a bit later on when we talk about the trade in, trade out, but I'm very, very excited to have him in my team this week. So I'll say that for sure. Moving on to the Friday game, we got Storm Tigers. Now, I don't know about you, but I own seven players in this game, seven players in my 17 with one not in my 17. So I have a lot riding on this game.
So who have you got? Harry Grant, Utoi Kamanu, Eli Katoa, Adam Dewey.
Adam Dewey. I've got Coates.
Yeah.
Yeah. Welch and Jerome Hughes.
Ooh, well, but yeah, potentially.
Yeah, hopefully.
You are hoping for a bloodbath in this game. Jeez, you've kind of owed it. It's been two bad games, well-ish, for the Storm. So they're definitely due, and the poor old Tigers. Cam Munster comes straight back. They can't take a trick.
No, it's going to be rough, and I hope we see the Storm of old and then just throwing the footy around and having fun and putting on 50 points. And for the Tigers, I hope they put on 10 points, and it's all from Dewey.
Nah, it'll be Brent Naden, mate. Superstar. Brandon Wakeham randomly chiming in. But no, I don't know what to think about this game, to be fair. Like, we've all talked about the Storm being a chance of regression for years and years. And is it, I wonder if it's finally the year. We're just assuming they'll bounce back. But
I think they've just had a really unlucky run with injuries because they lost their fullback. They lost their centre in the trials. They lost one of their wingers. They lost their star player, 5'8". They've lost their massive bopper prop. Yeah, that's just. That, I think it's more injuries once they have their full side, or at least most of their full side. They'll be back to that top six team that we know them to be. Going off last week, they're 1-17. Besides Cam Munster, I believe all stays the same. So you know, a familiar lineup for them, with only good additions. Whereas the Tigers, they have a few changes on their side of the park. Obviously, Adam Dewey's gone to fullback, moving Dane Laurie to the bench. John Bateman's named to start now, whereas last week he was named, I think he was in the reserves, then moved to the starters an hour before the game. And Isaiah Papali'i comes back from suspension. They've kept Fanua Pole at 13, and Offa Engawa has now gone to the extended reserves, which, you know, to me is quite shocking. The Tigers have been pretty poor to start the year, but I don't think it's purely because of Offa. I don't know if he deserved to be completely dropped out of the side. Alex Seyfarth gone to the interchange as well. What are your thoughts on the Tiger side there and Offa Hingawi completely out of the 17?
I have no idea what's going on at the Tigers. Who'd have thought Joe O, one of their best players last year, would see himself on the extenders after four rounds? Like, it's just bizarre. And then you've got shuffling mid-game. You've got now Dewey back to fullback, Laurie on the bench. Like, I'm so off the Tigers in terms of Supercoach. I have no idea what's going on. There was talk John Bateman might even be moved to lock. He's been kept there. So Polle is still named. But who knows what Sheens is doing here. Nofo out as well. Like, I have no idea what's going on. And I want no part of it in terms of attacking players. I'll keep Stefano as he's pretty cheap and got a good break even. But outside of that, I'm reversing on Adam Dewey big time.
So you're not a current owner on Adam Dewey?
Was, as of 5 minutes ago.
Right. Yeah, see, and this is for a segment that we will get into a bit later on, bringing back one of the classics, but I'm a strong Adam Dewey owner. I've obviously been very hot on him all preseason, and I think he will be on my side until the end of the year. Unless there's a long injury or other circumstances mean I have to trade him out, but as long as he's playing, I'm happy to hold him in my side no matter how bad the Tigers are going.
Mate, it's frigging musical chairs at Concord. He'll be in jersey 14 next week, you watch.
Yeah, but he'll still get 40 points just from walking on the field. That's the type of player he is. Predictions.
No, Tommy Talau, sorry. Just still out with that nasty head knock. So if you've still got him, it doesn't look like any time soon. So, not sure what you do there, but hasn't made a lot of value. So are you keeping him if you own him?
I mean, I did own him. I was very hot on him, but I sold him last week. And pretty happy I did as well. But I would, with Sloan's low break even, that's probably the way I'd go for that one. I do think Talau's a trade out and get on board with the cheap centre wing. He's going to make cash early rather than waiting on it.
Love it.
Beautiful. On to the second Friday game, the Clash of Brisbane, the Brisbane battle, whatever. I can't remember exactly what they're calling it.
It's Brisbane versus the. Thank you very much.
Or it's the versus Brisbane, as it's the's home game.
Sorry, the home team.
Poor Broncos have to take an away game to Suncorp. It's rough.
It's rough.
That's it. Well, Dolphins there, they're going to have a few changes because they've got Kenny Bromwich named at front row, but I'd assume he'd go to the edge with Felice Kaufusi out now that he's gone for 4 weeks.
I'm not sure there because it was weird that he was named at prop with Bromwich there, and you've got Ray Stone on the bench. You've also got Tom Gilbert at lock, who's played on the edge before, so he could quite easily shift Ray Stone in there. So I'm wondering whether, it might be just an easy shift to move Cabron back. But either way, good news for Connolly Lemuelu. I wrote about him in the team's list analysis, and I saw Anton tweeting about him earlier as well. But he is a huge option. Maybe not this week with a break even to 35, but probably got this spot locked up for about a month minimum, I would suggest. So with attacking stats coming out the wazoo, he's been a close watch of mine and looking like he's, 80-minute second rower at the moment.
Oh, for sure. He's been pretty solid the first few rounds. He's had decent minutes round one and three, and he's got a 76 and 64 in those two games. First one with a try, second with a try assist. Round two against Canberra, he did only manage 20 minutes and for a score of 8, so that's why his break-even is still somewhat high for his price at 35, but he's only centre wing eligible, so I'd assume come round six he will get that dual flexibility. But over the next month with games against Broncos, Dragons, Cowboys and Souths, he could be due for more attacking stats as well, or at least 50 in base attack. So yeah, next week he's your Talau option out if you have 60K in the bank. But yeah, like you said, not one I'd potentially look at this week. I'd want to see how their rotations are as well. They've got Wallace and Nichols on the bench. One of those two has been starting every week at that prop position with Jesse Bromwich. Kenny Bromwich has moved to the middle a lot the first few weeks, but I don't know if that's the normal rotation or if it was out of necessity from in-game injuries or HIAs, whatever. So yeah, I'd be very much looking at their forward rotations this week and then taking advantage of it next week.
And Tom Gilbert's he's been a pretty gun player so far in three rounds. I thought I was a little bit, hesitant with him, but he's getting attacking stats and he's doing all the right things. Looks to have found a new home. So Gilbert as well, if you're talking about Dolphins players on the buy list, Lemuelu and Gilbert are both on there for mine.
Yeah, really annoying because all preseason my front row pairing was Daniel Saifidi and Tom Gilbert. And then last minute, after seeing Christian Welch in the trials, I thought he looked pretty good. And then I was a bit worried about Tom Gilbert and how many minutes he'll play or how effective he'll be because he doesn't get much base attack, but he has a very good base. So I ended up going him down to Welch. My Welch hasn't been hugely disappointing. He hasn't been Tom Gilbert. So, yeah, that's one I'm kicking myself for. But I'm definitely interested in looking at Tom Gilbert from this point moving forward. The fact he got 70 in basically pure base last week. So 64 in pure base, it looks like here. So, yeah, pretty incredible numbers from him in only 59 minutes. And I can't see him slowing down either. That's just the type of player he is. Their backline, Isaiah Katoa is in a bit of doubt with Anthony Milford on the extended reserves. The reports were that Katoa didn't train today. So if it's just Katoa and Dewey as your 5'8s, both are in doubt this week. Maybe that's the area you look to target trades for. I know I'm in that boat because at the moment they are my two 5'8s. So I will be looking at options to switch that up if needs be. Other side of the park for the Broncos, 1-17 remains the same with Jesse Arthurs on the wing, who did a job for them. That whole back line's doing jobs for them. Katoni Sags was brilliant last week. Herbie Farnworth has had a great year so far. Reece Walsh is doing Walsh type of things. Their halves as well, Ezra Mam, Adam Reynolds, they are the halves pairing of the year so far. They're both in debate for being in the current team of the year, I'd say. So they've been pretty incredible. They've moved Tom Flegler to the starting lineup. That was a late switch last week. And I've heard whispers that was actually A-Ray's doing. He wanted Flegler to be starting and Jensen to the bench. I don't know how much evidence, how true that is, but that's just what I heard online. But hey, it seemed to work for them pretty well. Billy Walters stays starting. The whole full pack pretty much stays exactly the same. That Broncos team is scary. I'd be not comforted going up against them.
Yeah, they are. They're the hot hand at the moment. A couple of home games in a row, including this one. So lucky them, but whatever, all credit to them. You kind of strike while the iron's hot, but big one for them obviously is Reece Walsh, second game last week. So this is his pre-price rise round. So he's the big target. But yeah, there's a handful of names in that side you could go. Just maybe one. Tony Staggs had probably his best game last week. But in terms of Supercoach, are you steering right clear this year?
Oh, yeah, I'm not going near. I've never owned Tony Staggs, and I think I can pretty safely say I never will, because I don't want him for his next 430s, and then I sell him, and then he gets 100. Mm. That's just the type of player he is. I don't want any part of that. I think Farnworth is probably a safer own, but they're just too pricey at this point now. I'm not really looking at anyone in that back line, to be completely honest, besides Reece Walsh.
No, good on the Broncos. Looking forward to seeing them go 3-1, though, up the Fins. We'll be there on Friday night. Are you going to go?
No, I can't go. That's my first day back at work after 2 weeks off. So, gross. Yeah, no, back to the trenches. One thing to mention with the Broncos, I don't know how much impact this will have on the likes of a Paddy Carrigan, but Kobe Hetherington's coming back from injury and he's been named the extended reserves. Now, I don't think he'd play this week. They probably want to keep the formula as is, but he is a solid player and he is a lock more so than a prop. So I'd be interested to see how he fits into this team coming off the bench or whether they move Carrigan to the prop position mid-game. Not that that changes his style of play, but it could impact his minutes if he's part of a different rotation. Do you see Kobe having any effect on him at all?
I don't. I think you've got the class in the likes of Haas and Carrigan, one of the best forwards in the game there. You don't limit their minutes unless Adam Reynolds, the coach, wants to. But for mine, he's probably just another name to move Jensen or to power around for. So, no, I wouldn't see that affecting them at all.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Yeah, I don't really have any more to note on this game other than that Pierre Coro should be starting over Kurt Capewell or Jordan Rickey. I just want another cheapie on my side. Super Saturday, your boys, the Cowboys, up against the Titans. Now, your Cowboys, do you have much to say about them after last week's effort?
I don't, so move to the Titans.
Now, you guys keep the same 1-17, besides obviously the big loss in Reuben Cotter. Mm. I think I read that he picked up a knee injury last week during the game. Is that correct?
He played through. He played through, but 2 to 4 weeks is the prognosis, courtesy of NRL physio. So, yeah, not looking ideal. He did look a little bit busted and, hopefully needs a bit of a rest and comes back firing. But didn't start the quickest, so I think very easy trade out this week for people.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, even if he was playing, he's probably a trade-out option this week just with how he's been going. His minutes have been on a downward trend, surprisingly. He hasn't been building into the season. He's been putting down from round one. And even then, he just hasn't been putting out that super high base games that we were seeing last year when he was going into that excellent period that he had. But Griffin Neame moves to the starting team. I'm a big fan of Griffin Neame, so I'm happy to see that. Hylam Lukey, James Tarmow, Tanua Perrin and Granville make up the bench, but the rest of the team stays exactly the same. Shibazaki stays in the centres, Tom Chester at fullback. Obviously, neither are options given that Hiku and Drinkwater will be back in the next couple of weeks. But you know, I thought Tom Chester was pretty solid at the back. I quite like him as a player. How did you view him?
Yeah, no, really good for a rookie. Second game, first game as a starter. So one of the few shining lights in a pretty terrible game last week. But I would like to think in when Drinky comes back, Chester goes to the bench and takes Jake Granville's spot. Jake Granville, you're a great bloke and you've been a valuable servant for many years, but you're a very old man now and old people need to be moved on so that the younger brigade can shine. But no, I think for the value that Chester has compared to Granville at this stage in their careers, would love to see that move. Again, for Supercoach, doesn't do much because, yeah, it's just going to mean a very small price rise into a, yeah, probably 20s and 30s there on.
For sure.
Yeah, for NRL, great player.
Now, as a non-Val Holmes owner myself, I really hate him. I really hate him because he does absolutely nothing. His team, he's losing to the Warriors. He doesn't get an attacking stat besides one line break, and he's almost getting 70. Like, I just, yep. I hate him. But at the same time, I love him.
I wanted you to play Give Your Love to a Cowboy Man because, no, he's Big Val, one of those guys, again, just pops up. I couldn't believe that score last week, 60 or whatever it was, in a terrible game for the Cowboys. So Val Holmes, for owners, yet to have a really good game. So the fact he's pushing these scores out is great signs. I don't own him either, so I just went without. I figured this is the start we would have. I did call it. We are slow starters. That's what happened. But, yeah, Val... hugely on the radar once we eventually turn it around and become premiers.
For sure, for sure. Well, the team that you have a chance to do that to this week is the Titans. This game is up in North Queensland. Now, they've come out with the same 1-17 that beat the Storm last week. So, I mean, it's still very much on the table that they do get the upset win against you guys, especially with the loss of Cotter. That's definitely not helping your case. Tanner Boyd keeps the 7 jersey after, you know, he's had a shocker of a season. He was my definite no-go in the mega guide, and I'm quite happy with that call considering how he's performed. Tanner Boyd owner, if you don't own Tanner Boyd, I don't believe.
No, don't own him.
Yeah. If you did, what would you be doing with him?
I mean, he's that awkward sort of price where he probably won't move too much in value, but he's not doing anything and you'd be, you know, hesitant to play him week to week. So I think he hasn't quite kicked on as we thought, despite goal kicking and all of that. So probably an easy trade-out target. You could, you know, shift him down to someone, a cheapie or something like that, and make a bit of cash. But otherwise, Boyd, yeah, not an urgent trade-out, but you might as well.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, he's lost money. And oh, after that start, that's a shocker. No, the rest of the team looks the same. Dave Fifita, he didn't play a full game last week, and that was his worst score of the year from memory as a 49. 49 coming up against the Storm. Considering they scored, I think it was 38 points, the fact he only got 49 in 60 minutes was shocking to me. Like that's his lowest score of the year so far. He still looks fairly involved, but no attacking stats at a 38-point game. As if you're a Fifita owner, are you worried? Would you be looking to potentially move, considering that next round they have the bye?
I don't think so. I think this is a really good opportunity for him against what is a brittle Cowboys edge. We are terrible trying to defend at the moment with makeshift second rowers and that, and Nanai falling off tackles. So, I mean, if there's ever a game where Fifita is going to go large, it's this one. So from an NRL and non-Fifita owning perspective, I'm pretty worried. But, yeah, I mean, he's on the left edge. A lot more balls going his way. The attack will come. I think you just got to be patient with him. As this Fogarty and Naden and all this stuff has shown, you just got to hold fire. Don't burn trays on people that you know are absolute guns and hold on.
No, for sure. Fair enough. I'd have a similar mindset as well going into that one if I was an owner. As a non-owner, I hope he plays another 60 minutes and gets less than 50. Another Titans player, extremely popular, Alofeana Khan-Pereira. Two tries last week for a score of 35, which is pretty good considering two tries. I thought he might have got a 40. Negative break even of 31, so should make some money. For me, not a play, but I've also heard arguments that he is a player this week, considering Montoya scored a double down that edge last week. Would you be playing him this week?
He's one of those guys. If you don't play him, he'll score massive. If you do, he will not. So for me, yeah, given what Montoya did last week, basically toying with Paul Carlfelt, absolutely play him this round. I will.
Yeah, fair enough. I think it's one that I will wait and see how Adam Dewey or Katoa go, whether or not they're going to be named, and he might be my 18th man coming in. So yeah, I think that's probably the route I'll go for him there. Last game for the Super Saturday, we have this is a pretty big matchup, Supercoach wise. It's the South Sydney Rabbitohs versus the Sea Eagles. This one's at Accor Stadium. Now, the Bunnies, their forward pack is just being hit and hit and hit. Like, they've lost so many guys. Now, Totola out, Shaq Mitchell out, Heme Sele out. They've basically just got Burgess and Mawale from their starting 17 as a forward pack, and that's it. Like, the Saluka Fafita's come in to start. Jacob Host has gone onto the edge with Cheekam gone to the bench. Sorry, Catfish, I know that one's hurt you. Jed Cartwright's come onto the bench. Besides that, that's a very, very light on forward pack. Are you taking anything away from that? Are you owning anyone in that one?
I mean, I own Mawale, as most people do, or I think 25% of us do, and it's frustrating because you get this chance for big minutes and all that with all these injuries, and then he just, I don't know, hasn't done anything with it, isn't getting the minutes. So, yeah, Daniel Saluka Fifita comes from the clouds yet again to be named at start, so that's a bit of a pain. But I think last time that happened, he got bumped anyway for Mawale. Didn't lead to much, but for the time being, Mawale, he's what, break even's 26. He's not going anywhere, so not the worst of the problems, but just annoying that given all the carnage, like, he's not making hay while the sun shines. So Cheekamp's probably the big one, as you said. Like, gets a negative break even, has been scoring, I think, 50s in the first three rounds, yeah, making good prices, but he's probably a one and done after this week with Jacob Host being back and all of that. And Jai Arrow, I think, twinged his hammy again, so he's not probably that far away, although it might be a couple of weeks now. So again, Cavalry will return, and it's going to mean these Cheekams and Mawalis get moved on, not now, but in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, no, for sure. I know that a few people were pretty hot on Cheekam and they're pretty annoyed at the move, but I mean, I think, I feel like we've been saying for a while, just they're not options. There's players coming back that are right around the corner, and who knows what's going to happen with that rotation there. And Jacob Host, I don't know why they're so in love with him down there. I don't really rate him that highly as a player, but they do just love him. Any opportunity, they will chuck him in there and give him big minutes on the edge. So, yeah, I think that was one that was fairly obvious that was going to happen. So if you're a GKM owner, you probably deserve it. Probably deserve it in my books.
Unlucky Wolf. Yeah.
Now, one thing to say about Mawale as well, obviously we all want him to get big minutes. He's had opportunities there, but he is also only 19 years old. Like, he is super young. He's not fully developed in his body yet. He's got a lot. He's got a long, long way to go. They're probably just taking their time with him while Totola and Burgess and players like that are still around to take that, you know, first heat. So I think they would, being patient with Mawale for the Bunnies is their best strategy for him. So I can understand why he's not getting huge minutes each week or not playing more than 40, 45 when he is starting, stuff like that. So yeah, I'm not too upset by it. I think he will build into it as he goes, as he gets more used to the league. So, I mean, it's understandable why they're doing what they're doing given his age and the circumstances. On the other side of the park, a team with another not great forward pack, Manly there, I think that 1-17 is exactly the same.
Yeah, basically. I think there's no changes. Sean Kepi's still in that 17 jersey. So Schuster fought off I thought he picked up a little leg injury late in the game. So he came down, I guess, a little bit gingerly on that leg after putting in a kick, but has been named there. And there's only Cooper Johns, big C Johns, on the bench as cover. So, yeah, good to see Manly. It'll be their third game. Price rises this week as well. So Sean Kepi owners, though, I mean, for me, happy enough to keep him around, break even of 7. But between him and Mawale, going to be moving these guys on in the not-too-distant future.
Oh, for sure. I mean, if Bunny's forwards keep dropping like flies and Mawale stays in the team, I'd be happy to hold him. But no, Kepi, if you're an owner, I think we said this last week as well, you're pretty happy. Even though he moved to the bench, he still scored decently and probably what you expect with him starting anyway. So no, I think that's a decent hold there. Tommy Turbo was doing Tommy Turbo things. He's turned up, I think, both games now. And, Rabbitohs, they don't mind conceding the odd point here or there, so I can see him potentially doing the same Saturday night. I think this will be a points fest, so Latrell owners, AJ owners, Garrick owners, Turbo. There's a lot of opportunities here for captaincy or VC or even just, you know, turning your entire round around. Yeah, will be one to gain a lot of points from, I see. Are you owning many players in this one, or is it just the usual Turbo, Murray?
I think it's just Turbo and Murray Schuster who I'm tossing and turning over whether to play. So, with a lot of the cavalry coming back, I've currently got him on the NPRs, Schuster, that is. So, yeah, I'm keen to see what happens. But for me, before we move to the next games, be a bet for this one, your boy Kaloa Matangi versus Olakau'atu. I don't have a stake in either of these guys, so I don't care other than you own Kaloa Matangi and I want him to fail.
So I don't know Kaloa Matangi.
He's just your boy. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. I'll go with the big Guok. Outscores the Koala. Guok v. Koala.
What do you reckon you take on it?
Sure.
Deal's sure, choice. Absolutely. I'll take that. Kaloa Matangi is going to pump him by 30 points.
Lock it in. See you for the next Suncorp game.
Oh, yeah. I think it'll most likely be Magic Round. So get ready for that one.
Just jug of bourbon.
That jug of bourbon. Jeez, all right. All right. I'm in for that. I'm here for that. Now, just talking about the Bunnies, they've got a really interesting run coming up. They've got three games at the core, and then over the next four games after that, they've got another one at a core and three at Suncorp. I feel like they'll make the most of that because they'll almost make Suncorp their second home because they've got the three to core, then they've got the Dolphins, then another one at a core, and then the Broncos and Magic Round. I quite like that run for them situationally. So for the likes of Murray, Latrell, players like that, I think it'll be really, really good time for them points-wise because they love being at home, and Suncorp is known for the points there and the fast track.
Mm. So, I mean, the track was pretty terrible last week, again, with your boys and the Broncos. I was getting chopped to shit. So
yeah, 58 points.
Well, that's it. So, yeah, there you go. Just maybe a few twisted ankles. But, no, it's a fair point. If they've got consistency in the travel, often that can lead to Supercoach points. So the likes of, Murray I'm happy with. I only want Damien Cook. I'm glad I haven't gone with him early on. A few people were potting with him over Harry Grant and my boy Reece Robson. But so far, Cook's just been pretty steady. So waiting for him to burst. Maybe it is this run.
Just yet, but he's still averaged over 60, and that's pretty much all been in base. Just two scores of 58 and a 68, and that's been against Sharks, Penrith, and the Roosters. And he hasn't had a single attacking stat, no line break, no line break assist, no try contribution or anything. That's all just been base and base attack. So you'd think the attacking stats are coming. So I think if you're an owner, you're not disappointed, but you're not exactly happy. You know what I mean? I think he's a hold regardless. Because those attacking sets will come.
Yep. I mean, the old adage, don't trade a gun, but the gun isn't firing quite yet.
Exactly. And there's a few of them as well. There's a few of them around, but, you know, we'll get into them when we talk about the trade outs. Now, last day of the round, the Sunday. First up, the epic clash of the Warriors and Bulldogs. Charles Nicol-Klokzar returns to fullback. Montoya, obviously, on the wing. I think Ed Cossey got re-signed this week, so who knows the... repay of faith for him. It could turn out here. I'm a bit interested by this Warriors team. Halves will stay the same, but except Wade Egan, super, super popular buy last week for obvious reasons, made decent cash, scored another try as well for an okay score, but he's out with a HIA, so he is out for this round. Josh Curran's moved to the extended reserves as well. He's not even in the 1-17 anymore. With Jackson Ford returning to the edge. So if you're a Ford owner, you're very happy there as long as you didn't sell. Other than that, I think the team all stays about the same. Really surprised at a few moves here with Josh Curran out to the extended reserves. Freddie Lussick named to start. There's a lot going on here. So I'd be surprised if they come out the same Warriors as we've seen the first few weeks. Whereas the Dogs, on the other hand, the 1-17 remains exactly the same as what ran out last weekend. Jaden Ockenbaugh on the bench, that's the one that just absolutely befuddles me. I don't know what the thought process is there.
Played 4 minutes in two rounds. Didn't get on the park last week.
I just don't understand it. I just don't get it. I don't know why he's on the bench. I don't know what their plan is with him. Is it because Karaz does so much work, they're worried he's going to injure himself?
Rotate him because he's a forward. I don't know. Yeah, some players or some coaches just like to keep utility. Like Tim Sheens, coaching extraordinaire, used to keep us like almost two centres on his bench just in case. In case you want to bench the likes of Adam Dewey. So I know Ockenball break in case of emergency.
I mean, they're not really running with any forwards on the bench. They've got Brown, who is a lock hooker, Jaden Tanner, Corey Waddell. There's just no real full props on the bench that they can go in that rotation. So I'm really interested to see what they do there. I guess Jaden Tanner is a prop, but he's not, you know, in NRL level class just yet. He's got a bit of a way to go for that. They're really missing people like the likes of Luke Thompson, Pengai Jr. They're just missing them a lot. But I think that bodes well for Preston. You'd assume he plays huge minutes every single week as a play in U17 every single week. And he's shown that he could score very well in Supercoach as well. So if you're an owner, as everyone most likely is, he's definitely a play in U17. And would he be in yours this weekend? Any other Dogs players or Warriors players in your team this weekend that you're thinking of playing or thinking of even purchasing?
I don't own any Warriors players, but Jacob Carraz, I don't own him, but obviously one of those luxury trades, if you could have, from last week. Looked immense in his game. I think he got 62. No attacking stats. It was all base. I think he ran for 42 hit-up points, something incredible like that. Ticking all the boxes. Imagine if he starts scoring tries. So he's, 100% a buy this week if you can. And, I'm going to go without, and I just think... Yeah, I'm going to hate it, but I've got other fires to put out for the time being. But no, I don't think you could go wrong with him. Jacob Preston is the one I do own in this game, so more than happy. And if anything, he's going to be providing some of the ball out to Carraz. Loves throwing a pass, so yeah, happy enough with that. TPJ at least will come back through the middle, so we're hoping that Preston remains an 80-minute edge forward because I think it's nothing but gold so far. Yeah.
No, absolutely. Now, just going through... Oh, what's this? Jerome Hughes is out for the next 2 weeks.
He's been unsuccessful
in seeking a downgrade. So now I've got to try and work out a strategy and what I want to do with him. But I'd assume that means Jonah Pezet comes into a halfback. And he was very, very good last week. But with Hughes not out for that long, not an option in Supercoach, I'd say. But that's a fun update. That's exactly what I was wanting to hear.
That's a trade talk chat, I reckon.
That is.
What do we do with that?
That's going to be a tough one. Other than Doggies, I'm a Carraz owner. Very happy with that. And, you know, he's got the potential to be a season-long hold. If not, he'll be Garrick in a week or two once his BE goes back to normal. Alamotti, he's very solid for his age. He's very, very good and will be one of the best centers in the game in the next few years to come, I'd say. I don't know if he will be my 17 this week. I'm a bit stacked with options in my center wing now with the matchups this week, but maybe with Hughes out, I mean, Warbrick probably doesn't get a run, so maybe Alamotti gets a spot in over him. And like I said, Jacob Preston will be my 17 every single week until he decides he doesn't want it. On the Warriors side, the only player I'm looking at bringing in, and now that Hughes is out, probably can't do it, but it would have been Tolu Harris. He's just been incredible to start the year. Don't see him really slowing down. Last week, it was he didn't play, I think, as many minutes as normal, and he was a bit slower, still pumped out a 60. So, yeah, he would be the only player really in this game that I'm looking at bringing in. But like I said, with Hughes out, might have to go a different avenue there. You're not a Tolu owner, I believe.
No, not a Tolu owner. Was keenly watching Jazz Tavanga on his return, just what he did, but Tolu continues to bang out 80 minutes. He's doing it in like Arvo games as well, pretty tough conditions. So with a decent break even, at least it's not a trade-in must this week, but definitely someone everyone should have in their side at some stage this year.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The second game on the Sunday, we have the Knights and Raiders, probably the least Supercoach relevant game so far this round. Teams are fairly similar as last week, except for Greg Marzi has gone onto the wing for Dom Young. Now, I think I read that Dom Young was dropped. He's not injured. Is that right?
Sounded like it, yeah. That was the word from this morning.
Jeez. I mean, Adam O'Brien doing Adam O'Brien things, I guess. Daniel Saifidi, he did his shoulder last week, wasn't able to finish the game. If you're an owner like me, you're pretty disappointed considering he looked to be on track for a 60-plus game there. He was firing on all cylinders. He was going great base and BPM-wise. But, you know, the game's the game. They get injured. It's what happens. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if he doesn't play this week. So for that reason, I don't think he's going to be my 17. just because I won't have any players to put into my 17 if he does drop out. It's a gut call. I don't think he plays this week. That shoulder, the fact he couldn't finish the game and how he looked holding it just really didn't look good. It reminded me of 2022 Payne Haas almost, and you know the amount of time he missed and how it affected his game. I'm going to take the safe option and play Utua Kamano over him this week. Heimel Hunt owners, you know, you're very lucky, I'd say. He shouldn't be in the team at this point, in my opinion. But you know, the fact he's held the spot, you'd be pretty happy with the price rises to come. Hopefully he jags a try or two. James Schiller on the wing, Tomoko, Smith Shields, and Hopewata in the other wing. But Seb Chris keeping the fullback spot seems to be making somewhat use of it. I still don't love him back there, but he's doing something of a job. Jamal Fogarty, your man, obviously keeps a 7. I don't know how.
Obviously.
Josh Papali'i finally returns to the team. And, you know, everyone's favorite, Tom Starling, still on the bench. And Zach Wolford goes into the starting 9 spot for Danny Levi, who I believe is injured. And Hudson Young, Whitehead, and Harrow Iranaira keep the 11 to 13. The bench, exactly the same, except for Pasami Solo takes a step down from the starters and Trey Mooney drops out completely. So, like I said, this game isn't hugely Supercoach relevant. Is there anyone you're looking at this round or no one really that interesting?
Not overly interesting. I mean, Leo Thompson, we talked about the depth at the Knights prop role being pretty low on. So if anyone's going to step up, it's him. He got 60-odd minutes last week. He's fairly cheap, still around the 350k mark with break even 14. So with all the injury crisis going on there, he should be the one to step up because yeah, there's not a lot of options. Hetherington's terrible. Matt Croker, good player, but yeah, again, not huge minute players. So Leo Thompson, maybe the only one from the Knights. Although Lockie Miller doing really good things. There you go. But for Canberra, I think the Tom Starling stuff was mildly interesting when he piled on points last week. But the timeshare with Zach Wolford, where they both split basically 40 minutes each, means they're not super coach players. So ignore the break even of 12 for Starling. Just move on elsewhere. Better options.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, happy to remember from that game. For myself, only Daniel, the only player in this whole either side that I own is Daniel Saifidi, and I don't think he's going to play. So there's really nothing for me to add to this game. The next game, though, could be somewhat Supercoach relevant. Dragons and Sharks. It's the last game of the round. This one is at Netstrata Jubilee Stadium Sunday night. Dragons there, they keep the same team running out. I think the only addition was Toby Couchman coming back from a HIA for Michael Molo, hops out of the team. Amone still on the extended reserves. I wouldn't be surprised at this point. Now he's probably got some fitness back. He could be looking at jumping into that sixth role sooner rather than later. So yeah, just one to keep an eye out, but I don't think many people are Jaden Sullivan owners. Other side of the park, huge, huge in for the Sharks, Nicho Hynes. And while Nicho Hynes is wearing the 7, Trindle is still in the 17 on the bench. What are you making of that?
I'm not sure there because I thought Trindle picked up an injury last week, played through, but potentially just there in case Nicho is a late out and they force Trindle to play. But I would suspect, I know Trindle had played there most of last year as a utility. I think he averaged like 20 minutes or so off the bench, didn't score well, but presumably this will shuffle around as the week moves on, depending on both of their injuries. So for me, I mean, Nicho, if he's healthy, he's playing 80 minutes, so I would not be concerned at all if you either own or, well, you should only own from this week onwards. But yeah, any prospective owners shouldn't be concerned about Trindle. Fortunately for him, I think he's almost 10% owned, old mate Trindle. And yeah, flying, that linkage with Britton Nikora was huge. I think he put him over for a couple of tries, so it was flying.
Nikora's had a great start to the year. He's been flying.
So for me, Hynes, given the calf issue, and it's, you know, it will potentially hold him back a little bit from running, and we all heard that they were easing him back in. I wouldn't be going near him, especially with a round 6 bye, so not too far away. But that'll be the huge, I guess, trade talk for them. Your boy, Teague Wilton, now that your other boy, Wade Graham's gone. But out of Nicola and Wilton, who do you reckon is going to outscore each other come round 27?
Nicora.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty cool. I'm not that big on Teague Wilton, in all honesty. I think he's decent, but I don't have the love for them that a lot of other people have. He hasn't really been around my team. I don't know. I don't have that gut feeling for him, but I think Nakora is a very, very talented player, and he'll only get better with the addition of Hines in the team. So yeah, that's probably the way I'd lean. You're not a Wilton owner, are you?
I am. Certainly am. I didn't listen to you telling me where Graham was going to cost him. So, no, happy for Wilton. I think he pairs better with Hines. Got a couple of tries in the trial when Hines was there, and Nikola only averaged about 55 for most of his games last year with Hines. So I'm happy to
see. It sounds like it could be a second jug bet for the round.
Wow, geez, how many jugs are we going down? All right, Wilton v. Nikola?
Wilton v. Nikola up to magic round.
Sure. Okay. Love it. Beautiful. Lock it in.
Done. So that's the second jug bet. So there could be potentially three jugs paid out come magic round.
Be a big weekend. Big weekend.
Oh, yeah. Look, that's all the team list for the round. We'll have a quick break and then we'll come back and talk about the top trade-ins, trade-outs, and what we're planning on doing as well for this week. So we'll be back in just a minute.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The top trade-ins and top trade-outs. This one is a very interesting round here. There's some big, big guns on the way out the door. JT, you had the top trade-outs. Let's start with that one. Did you want to run down the list there for us?
They're not surprising this week. Often we get some weird ones thrown up. There's one or two, but, I mean, Teddy, number one, unsurprising, I think, has the bye this week and didn't score well, hasn't been scoring well. 60 last week was his best all year. 760K, shed 75 off his price tag. So a lot of people moving him on, myself included. Expect to get him back at some point this year, but understandably the top one out there. Adam Dewey, number two, another one on my list. So I'm going the top two. I'm just sticking with the people so far this round. Adam Dewey, so far traded out by 10,000 people. I think the lack of form over the last couple of weeks and the just mess at the Tigers is meaning get off this sinking ship, but you're the other end. So, I mean, you're the on the pro side. What do you actually see getting out of Dewey for the next month?
I don't see him as just what I get in the next month. I think he is a season-long hold, and I think he could come out as a top 3, 5, 8 by the end of the season. It'd be him, Dylan Brown, and Cam Munster at the pointy end there, and I think he will come out and average at 65 to 70 by season end. So, you know, I'm just happy to ride him through the rough parts and not waste any trades on him unless he's out for an extended period.
Ruben Cotter, number three. Yep. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, sorry, I was going to say, that would be my unpopular opinion of the week.
I thought we were going to have a segment. Segment for the death.
I think we get the soundbite and we run it next week. We'll get a soundbite for it and do it properly.
Love it. And I think we also have a 360 segment. We'll get into that one next pod. Number three, Ruben Cotter. Understandable, missing 2 to 4 weeks, hasn't kicked on. Good shift. I think a lot of people just gone straight to Payne Haas for not that much of a price gap. Sam Walker, this is somewhat interesting. I thought started really well over the first couple of weeks. Down game last round, called him my flopper of the week on the wrap pod, but has the bye this round. I was surprised to see he was so highly traded out. I think if you can carry him another week, there's a lot more upside than downside for him. Tough week last round, but I see forging ahead for him. He's going to salvage something. So I don't know. I'd be not desperately trading him out if I owned him.
I think a lot of people owned him with the intention to sell him this round. I know that I considered owning him at the start of the season just because of the Roosters' good early run with the first two games there. obviously didn't pan out for the Roosters, but Sam Walker did have a decent first two games. And obviously last week, like you said, the flopper of the week, I think that's the term you normally use in the wrap-up pod.
Mm.
Yeah, I think there was always the plan with Sam Walker to sell him when the buyer comes, not to hold him longer. So I'd get it. And if I owned him, he'd be out the door this week as well.
No, I can't believe that because I called it last week. I mean, I picked up Fogarty over him for, I think, higher price. And I said that was a pretty dumb decision. One good week doesn't change that. And, yeah, it doesn't make Walker a must sell. I think Walker goal kicks. Roosters are finally turning it around. They've had a pretty tough run. Last week was a good round. For some reason, Walker scored poorly. So tough games coming up, but they don't care. So if you own Sam Walker, don't bother getting off now. I think there's 60-plus to come for the next 2 months.
Yeah, I mean, potentially it's there, but I still think
not potentially, mate. There is a JT guarantee that he is definitely going to outscore Jamal Fogarty.
Okay. That's not going to happen. So, all right, okay.
No, but honestly, I reckon he's... I've really liked what he's done so far this season. Walker looks more confident as a player calling the shots. So for me, if you can salvage a week without having to trade a halfback out, if you maybe got Katoa or something like that, maybe, all right, I get it. But otherwise, Sam Walker for me, you got to wait and see.
No, understandable. Look, it's hard to argue against a lot of the top trade-outs this week. Cotter, obviously, due to injury. Teddy, Sam Walker on the bye. The one that I have already argued against was Adam Dewey, and that's because I think he is a season-long hold. But I still understand why people are selling him out. He's got the high BE. Tigers look terrible. He's moved to fullback, got injury worries. The bits and bobs there, but I still think he's a hold while he's playing. The next couple of some Storm players, Christian Welch here. It was a really weird game last week where he only played 33 minutes, but he wasn't injured. He didn't look exactly sore or overtired. I think it was just, you know, a low rotation game. Very weird.
42 degrees. It was like 40-something degrees on the field. I mean, you just move on. He's like a tough nut and whatever. He's going to get rested in this kind of game. So he'll be back. Sure. He'll be playing 55 plus, throwing offloads. If you own him.
Yeah, I'm not afraid to play him or own him. I think he's still solid play and solid own. Not a buy-in at all, but yeah, definitely your solid own and solid play in your 17. The next one, this is one I really, really, really don't agree with. William Warbrick. He is the sixth most traded out so far this round. He is only 217K. He hasn't scored a try yet. He hasn't had that great a game, but that will come. With it, surely there is someone else in your center wings you can just chuck in there who has a better matchup or, you know, has a better base, and you just keep Warbrick on the pine until he makes some cash and you move him on. But even then, he could be a play this week. You know, on that wing against the Tigers, who are in all sorts at the moment, he could go over for his first try of the season. So, no, definitely one I'd look at holding and even potentially playing your 17 this week. You're agreeing with me there.
217K. I mean, what have you got to lose just keeping this guy in your non-playing reserves? Like he's in the Storm side. They're going to naturally score tries, and he's going to surely stroll over for one. And we say it all the time. All it takes is one, and then they rise in price 100K, and then you move them on. What are you getting out of it now? Absolutely nothing. What are people doing? Yeah. Silly.
Now, the next two players I want to talk about was the seventh most traded out and then going down to the 11th most traded out. So two of the top price players in the game, Nathan Cleary, who has been sold by 3,000 people, and Latrell Mitchell, who's been sold by 1.5% at just over 2,000 people. Are you seeing either of these guys as trade outs this week?
No, not at all. They're both playing. You've just held Cleary through a bye week, so why you would trade him out now, I don't know. So completely disagree. He's got a massive break even, yes, but he's also a player you carry for the entire year, pending injury. And then you never see a price rise. It never crystallizes. Latrell, I don't get. He hasn't been setting the world on fire, but not many other fullbacks have. So scoring decently, not a trade out for me. So I think people are just playing silly buggers with maybe a lot of trades or cash up their sleeve. You got to look back. You think of yourself in round 26, 27 or whatever. Are you trading Latrell Mitchell to Reece Walsh or whatever for the sake of a round or something like that? Like, I don't know. You got to think more long term. Teddy's the bigger trade out for mine. Latrell, he's due to pop. So,
Sure. If you've got Latrell and Turbo as your fullbacks, you hold it and you're happy with that. Latrell hasn't had a game under 60 points, I believe. He's had Sharks, Penrith and Roosters first up, and he hasn't had a score under 62. Now, like we said before, with this Souths run, they've got three games at a core against Manly, who just conceded 30 points, Melbourne, who just conceded 38 to the Titans, and the Dogs, who are the Bulldogs. Then he's got three out of four games at Suncorp against not amazing competition. And then in that as well, another game against Penrith, who we just scored 62 against in Penrith. There is no world where Latrell Mitchell is a trade out, in my opinion. For me, he's one of my top trade targets in as a Teddy owner and Turbo owner. Latrell's near the top of my list for sure. So that is someone I'm definitely looking at bringing in. Even though he has a BE of 123, he could be one of the strongest buyers of the season, not just the round, but the season.
Let's go to trades then. Let's chat trades, because, I mean, there's a lot of juicy options on the agenda here.
Oh, for sure. Well, top one who is basically the other end of the spectrum there for Latrell, but Reece Walsh. They are the two big targets for fullbacks this week, considering the most popular ownership combo at the moment is Turbo and Teddy. Reece Walsh, he's had a great start of the year, averaged 100 over his first two games, super involved. He was on 0 points up till about the 60th minute last weekend, but he still managed to get almost 100 points. So completely understand why people are bringing him in. You make another, you basically bank 210K by trading out Teddy to him. Is Reece Walsh at the top of your targets this week?
He is, for that exact price reason. So trying to cut some of the mid-range deadwood down the track, mm-hmm. and you can do that easily with striking while the iron's hot and getting off Teddy in a bye week. Normally wouldn't do it if he's playing, because you just never know what he can do. But I guess three somewhat subpar weeks and now sitting out, great time to bring Walsh in before his price rise. Don't think I'll be holding him long term. I just think, you know, Broncos have played pretty well the last couple of weeks. It won't continue. And then they'll play some away games. It'll get tougher and all that kind of thing. So it will die down. He's not going to score 90 every week, but for now, he's the hot hand.
Absolutely. And he's more than the hot hand. He's the hot guy. So, you know, take that as you will.
Those eyes.
Take that as you will. Yeah, that's it. If you get, you know, defenders getting lost in them, that's the secret. Second on the top trade-ins, and not one I particularly agree with just yet, Josh Schuster. He's at 8% traded in, so 11,500 people. You're obviously an owner. You had him from the start, but I myself, someone who didn't start with him, I'm waiting another round just to see that he can basically make it through the 80 minutes without hurting his calf again. That is the main reason. I don't doubt his abilities. I don't doubt his ability to score super coach points. I doubt his how healthy he can be. So I just want to make sure he can get through the next round before bringing him in. And also, he doesn't gain any cash this round. So if he does manage to get injured, you're getting him in for nothing. That's one I'm happy to wait and sit on.
Yeah, have a plan though. So think about either this week or next. You've got to move someone on, I guess, to get him in before he inevitably rises decently in price. So just have a think. Who can you move on next week? Can you shuffle someone around like a Mawale? Or, you know, if you've got Jules in your second row, front row, just have a think. It's not this week or next. Or if it's not, then it's next. So,
yeah. Well, I think it's perfect time that Dury's moved to the bench for the Eels. So negative nine break even going onto the bench, he probably only gets a couple of points this week. He might make 5K, so basically pennies. But, you know, if you're trading him out to Josh Schuster next round, you're banking 60K, and Josh Schuster is a playable 5'8 second row in your team. So now that'll be my plan, either Dury or Luke Garner, depending on how he goes next week. Next on the trading list, Payne Haas, obvious reasons, best front runner in the game, fantastic last week, and he doesn't look like he's slowing down at all. So, yeah, I still think going into the season, I was saying he was the number one front runner in the game, and he would be for Supercoach as well, and he's showing it. 59 minutes, but he's got an average of 78.7. As long as he's healthy, I don't see him slowing down. It's really a shame that I didn't start with him, but, you know, hats off to him that he scored this well. You didn't start with him, I believe, either?
No, I started with Tarpane. And Tarpane, on the other hand, has sort of not kicked on. He's 48 minutes, I think, averaging. So I expect that'll go up. There's only one way to go with that sort of minutes for a guy like Tarpane. But for Haas, luxury trade, I would say. He's not an urgent one with a 53-odd break even. So happy to keep him on the watch list. But, yeah, he's a annoying one to not own because he just kills it every single week. So hats off to Haas owners. But, yeah, if you've got other fires to put out, absolutely do it. If you've still got one or two trades, then, yeah, absolutely Haas is your guy.
Absolutely. Next guy on the trading list, Tom Trbojevic, who's essentially in the exact same boat as Reece Walsh. He's had a great, basically turned up his first two games, now has the price rise. If you don't own him, I'd say he's the closest thing you have to a must-have. But the difference between him and Reece Walsh will be that Tom Turbo is a season-long hold. You know he's going to most likely keep up the average or at least get close to it. He won't be getting tons every single week, but he is much more likely to be season-long hold than Reece Walsh, who would just be a cash grab over the next few weeks while the Broncos have a good run. Now, if you had the choice of one of the two, Reece Walsh's cash over the next few weeks or Tom Turbo for the season, which way would you be leaning?
100% Tommy Turbo. They've had their first buy, so that added plus, and almost the same price. So Turbo, as you said, proven commodity. Go him if you haven't got him. I think most of them will now be running a Turbo, Reece Walsh sort of scenario after trades this week. But Turbo, if you had to flip a coin or whatever, he's your guy.
For sure, for sure. Now, the next couple I'm going to quickly run through, but we will retouch on one of them. So Nico Hines, fifth, Jacob Preston and Harry Grant, the next top two traded in. And the one I wanted to talk about was Adam Reynolds. Now, he obviously had a great game last week, but is he an actual option now that Jerome Hughes is out, or is he more of a luxury trade? So in my opinion, I'm not looking at him at all. He doesn't have those games in him often. I know he has a different game style at the Broncos than he did at the South, but I just don't see him maintaining that. There's games where he will be super involved and get 100, or there's games where he will get 40 all in goal kicks. So for me, not an option, but would you be looking at him if you had Jerome Hughes on your side?
I mean, he plays the next three games at Suncorp. Again, how kissed on the bell end are the Broncos this year? But anyway, three games at Suncorp, Finns, Tigers, Canberra. Like, if he's going to do it at some point this year, it's going to be these next three rounds. So I kind of don't hate it. But, I mean, we all know it's Adam Reynolds, who's historically never kicked on that well as a Supercoach player. So I think with the price going up, it's maybe a worthwhile punt, as you said, if you don't have Jerome Hughes. But, again, trades are at a premium. So if you're kind of throwing them around on a whim like this, then maybe looking back down the track, you might regret it. But whatever, Adam Reynolds, he'll probably go three-round average of 80 or something, so you might as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely fair enough. Well, speaking of halfbacks who, have good pedigree in Supercoach, the fifth most traded in player, Nico Hines. He's got, like we said before, the buy in round 6, but he's got two solid games with the Dragons and New Zealand in round 4 and 5. Against the Dragons, his last three games, he's turned up in all of them. That's 112, 124, and 182. Against the Warriors, he has a three-round average in the hundreds as well with a 61 point, 185 points, and 98 points. So if you are looking at potentially getting Nico Hines, it's either this round or after the bye, picking him up in round 7. As a Hughes owner myself, I'm definitely looking at Nico Hines, but the worry of Trindle on the bench, not knowing if Hines will make it, he probably has up until captain's run to prove his fitness. And with playing the last game of the round, it is very, very tricky. Would you see him yourself as a, not necessarily a must-have, but a really strong trade-in target, even with Trindle looming on the bench there?
Risky, but a strong trade-in target, no doubt. 903K, so the most expensive player in the game, I think, comfortably, as of now. So the calf injury and all that, we haven't seen how he's gone so far in the NRL. I know it's Hines and he'll probably come out and kill it, but won't actually increase in price or move anywhere until, as you said, round 7. So if you've got the funds to do it, 5% ownership, it's a huge pod, and it'd be getting on early for a guy that's probably a season-long hold for most players. But for me, this, maybe you go the Adam Reynolds route or something like that, to find a way to get a bit of cash and then go up to Nico Hines, because it's at a bit of a premium at the moment. So definitely not a must. I wouldn't go anywhere near him at this point, just with that buy and with other better Supercoach value players around. But not going to be coming up against him.
No, that's it. And he is somewhat of a pod play. He's been traded in by 5%, but a total ownership of 10%. So he would still be a pod play considering other players in that position. Like Cleary has an ownership of in the 40s and Turbo 55%. Like there's some super high owned players, and Nico Hines is that type of player that can absolutely kill it in a round. And if you own him and others don't, you'll fly up those rankings, especially considering that this week and next week, he's even a pod captaincy option at the moment for most captains in the round. He's at fifth with 3.9%. And the only players above him are Harry Grant, Turbo, Hopgood and Cleary. So that really shows the, you know, how limited we are with solid captaincy options, especially this round. So I'd say if I was looking at Nicho Hynes, I'd definitely be tempted to put the captaincy on him. Would that be something you'd be, you know?
Oh, last game of the round, you might as well throw the dice, I think, especially against your boys, the Dragons. What was it, four tries in 10 minutes? Jesus, what were you doing? But moving not away much. From those, and not on the 10 top traded in list, but Cam Munster and Dylan Brown, I said to you off air that that was my trade choice this week. I haven't yet pulled the trigger, so I'm moving on Adam Dewey. I've told you why. And my options are Dylan Brown and Cam Munster. Who are you going to and why?
So this one's a bit tough because, first of all, Teddy is definitely a trade-out for me, and now it will be Jerome Hughes. So Teddy will either be to Reece Walsh or Latrell Mitchell. And the thing is, if I go to Latrell Mitchell, then I am basically limited with who I can go Hughes to. The most expensive player I would go would be to Cam Munster. But that means I do miss out on Nicho Hynes. So for me, it's basically either I bring in Walsh and Nicho or Trell Munster. I'm leaning Trell Munster.
I was asking you, Dylan Brown or Cam Munster? And then you go rattling off your
players. Oh, I thought you were asking who my trades were this week. No, mate.
I'm telling you to tell me what to do.
Oh, how many Storm players do you own?
That'd be my big question. Eli Katoa and Harry Grant and Will Warbrick.
Well, you know what you're getting with Cam Munster. He doesn't have those low games that Dylan Brown has shown that he has as well. And you know, either way, you're going to have a season-long hole. But I think for this period, I'd be looking at Cam Munster. They also do have the bye in round 9. That's why I asked how many Storm players you have, because like we went through my Storm players before, I've got 6 or 7. So I'm going to have to start moving some out before that round 9 period. That's another reason why I'm not 100% sold on getting Cam Munster in my side. But if you have only got 3 or 4 Storm players, and yeah, I'd definitely go Cam Munster over Dylan Brown.
All right. Dylan Brown's been the hot hand player in a 0-3 Eels side, though, which is, you know, why I'm keen to get on him. Maybe not this round. I mean, they're playing Penrith, but yeah, not sure what to make of that one. But it might be the Cam Munster show. Just keeping an eye on team lists. And the good thing about him compared to Nicho is that he's playing the second game. So you should know either way, in or out. And with Hughes out, you'd suspect that forces a hand, no pun intended, and he's in. So for me, yeah. Dewey to Munster, locked and loaded.
No, I mean, understandable. The other thing that Dylan Brown does have over Munster is he doesn't have a bye until round 14, and he obviously plays through the whole bye or state of origin period as a Kiwi. So, yeah, it's definitely a tough one there, but I would lean Munster just because you know what you're getting with him, and he will be the number one 5'8" come season end, as he always does. I can't see Dylan Brown overtaking him there. Dylan Brown probably has Adam Dewey as the one to compete with for that second option. So I'm still strong on Dewey. I still think he will be up there season end, but just going through a little bit of a rough patch, but I'm happy to hold myself. Now, as you asked me before about my trade options, because you definitely weren't talking about anything else, Cam Munster and Latrell Mitchell or Reece Walsh and Nicho Hynes, which way would you lean?
Reece Walsh for the value, so that means you've got to get Nicho in. Why not? It's one of those things, as we said, he's going to be a huge pod, won't move in value for a little while. And you know, Walsh, with that run coming up, should make a fair chunk of value. So I'd go there.
Yeah, I mean, pretty simple. It's understandable. Do you want to know how annoying it is for my trades at the moment? I'm exactly 1K off going both Hynes and Latrell. Exactly 1K. Just think, if Teddy just, you know, if he got his fingertips to that ball, that bounce, it's just, you know, there's so many things that went through my head where I'm like, I'm just 1K off. What if, you know, Eli Katoa managed to score a try of Jerome Hughes last week or... Yeah, there's just so many hypotheticals there, but you know what? The game's the game, and it's forcing my hand into a different combo, which can be a bit of excitement for me. But yeah, that's where I'm at this week, and I'd love to hear trade suggestions or why you would lean a certain way on Twitter or on the Trade Talk section on the SC Talk website, which I'm always reading through and always looking at. So yeah, I might not talk a lot on it, but I'm definitely reading a lot of the combos on there. So would definitely suggest going and having a chat to some of the people online. It is great fun. Captaincies this week. Is there anyone you're really setting your eyes on or you've already got locked in maybe?
Well, I had Harry Grant last week as a bit of a handy option, was a newly traded in player, and I thought him up at the Gold Coast would go well. He did, 105, and against the Tigers at home this week, I think he's a very, very safe play. Possibly VC, although some of the guys scoring terribly on the bench means it's basically captain or nothing at this stage. So, yeah, not sure. I'm leaning towards either him or Munster, should I bring him in. Otherwise, yeah, not a hell of a lot of other options, I don't think. Reece Walsh, maybe, against the Finns, should he continue the hot streak. But that zero from an hour basically holds me back a little bit from that. So I think, I'll go Cleary VC into Harry Grant C, I think.
Yeah, getting those captains done nice and early so you don't have to worry about it again. I think I would have to chuck my captaincies on one of the new guys I bring in, whether that's Munster, Luttrell, or Nicho Hynes. So I think that'll be dependent on who I bring in. But, you know, maybe Munster VC with Luttrell or Turbo as captain, because I just have that gut feeling that that Saturday night game at a core stadium will be very high scoring. Like, they've shown they both like to league points, but they both love to score points. So, yeah, that'll be a really, really fun game to watch if I've got one of them as captain, I reckon.
So shit, just weather in Sydney, FYI. Just had a quick look at the rain.
This weekend?
So 80% chance of rain on Saturday, Friday. Sunday's cloudy, so that would be nice for the forwards. So maybe Nicho is your guy.
Maybe, yeah, look, if I do end up going Nicho, I probably would, given his history against the Dragons. He last three games, like we went through before, he's turned up in all of them. So he just loves scoring points against us. That, you know, local rivalry there we have with each other, it'll definitely be a tough one. And we conceded 40 to the Broncos last week, and we all know the Broncos are the beta Brisbane team. So the fact we were able to concede that much to them has me really worried going up against the Sharks this week. So yeah, I don't know. That'll be a question on who I want to trade in for. The Hughes out has made it a bit tougher for me, because if Hughes was staying in, my other plan was to go Daniel Saifidi out to Tohu Harris. Now I can't do that. So that'll be one for a future date. But that'll be my trades to captaincies for the week. Before we finish, anything you want to add or anything you want to quickly chat about?
No, not really. Up the Finns, go the Cows, and go Cam Munster.
Go Cam Munster. That's it. Well, Jerome Hughes, we wish you all your best on your holiday for the next few weeks. Thank you very much for your service to my team. Daniel Saifidi, please just sit out the week. Don't make this tougher than it needs to be. But to all listeners, thank you very much for tuning in. Keep your eye out for JT's wrap-up this weekend and for Clem and myself to be on the Supercoach Hub, where she, again, has to, you know, pay the price for losing to my elite side. But thank you all for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.